G'day everybody, welcome back to another episode of Free Kick, and today we are talking all about rucks, a line that has pulled out possibly some of the most impactful picks every season that we have done this podcast, and basically every season of AFLW Fantasy. Today I'm joined ably by two of my fellow co-hosts. I'm going to go to specifically Jono. How are you today? Ready to talk about some tall people?
I very much am. Yeah, it's definitely the line that's given me the most trouble this preseason. I've been looking at a lot of different options, and it completely changes the entire structure of my squad. So I'm keen to chat it through with you two experts today.
And that does mean that the second expert is Mel. Mel, are you similarly struggling with a line that we haven't previously called the toughest line to pick? Quite often that's been the forward line, but I feel like rucks are going to take that award this year.
I think so, and I am ready to ruck and roll. I've got some exciting rucks to be talking about today. And for all our listeners, you'll be very excited to know there's at least 50% of the rucks listed are going to make it into this episode, because there's a lot to talk about. There's a lot of rucks to consider. And I love watching your faces in just sheer disappointment at my opening pun.
I'm glad that that came across.
I was waiting for you to say 50% of the possible puns would be in this episode.
Oh, we've got puns planned.
I thought you were about to say 50% of the co-hosts on this recording have decided that they're walking off after hearing the pun.
Oh, no,
but
there's more.
You bring it on to a good point. This is a very position, like a position name dense podcast that we've kind of got planned out today. So, as we've done for each of these line by lines, we're going to run with a bit of the lay of the land. There are 45 rucks in total in the game as at the time of recording. 46% of which are priced below 40, which speaks very much to the nature of the rucks. Quite often there is only one good scorer on each team. It is very hard to score above 40 if you are not the primary ruck. And that is definitely something that means that we can talk about almost every team and the viability of the main ruck that they have, or the ruck battle that they might have. The other thing that makes this pretty unique is the gap between... Well, I say unique. It mirrors the midfield almost for the first time for the ruck line, where the leading scorer is basically 30 points better than anyone else on their line. And that is Mim Strom, who is the only ruck who averaged over 110. And then the next category that has any ruck averages in it is only 80, between 80 and 89 at a price stat. And if it wasn't already hard enough, we have a change this year. Now, we put out a question on Twitter asking for some questions, and Bicky's came through with an excellent one, one we were already considering talking about, which is there are going to be some changes to the umpiring of rucks this year. Their umpires have now been told they are not to wait nearly as long for rucks to nominate, and they will just throw the ball up. And separately, as much as this wasn't mentioned in the question, there is the additional change of more holding the ball free kicks being almost a certainty. Having watched a bunch of the match simulations, I made myself available to go and watch one out at Casey, and then there was also a live streamed one. There were a lot more tackles that were getting paid holding the ball, and so there was already a noticeable difference in the number of ruck stoppages at each game. That does mean that picking rucks, particularly those that are highly priced, we need to be very confident that they still hold value, and that they're going to be able to hold value even if ruck contest numbers and tackle numbers and repeat stoppage numbers are down. So that is something that's going to be interspersed throughout this entire episode. Mel, you are the lead analyst for today. Can I ask what your ruck rankings are?
So instead of doing a top five, which we've done with the other lines, it's a bit hard because, like you mentioned, Mim Strom is often a league of her own up the top there. So we're going to do Mim Strom versus why you might pick someone above her. So Mim Strom, obviously coming in with a very expensive price of 1.45 mil with 112 average. So she is very expensive. And the real question is, like, is she worth it? Gut says yes. She has a very high ceiling. We know that she scored 175 as her max score last season. And to the point you were mentioning before around where there might be less hitouts, less tackles, are the rucks still going to be worth it? Mimstrom is one of these rucks that has very impressive stats across the line. So she is the leading ruck for hitouts, important, but also disposals, contested possessions, marks, and tackles, way higher than the second highest ruck of Lucy Wales there. So she's got a lot of avenues to fantasy scoring, which I really like. And she has that potential to run away. Her first fixture for the season is against Matilda Schultz for Port Adelaide, who she scored 130 against last season. We see this sometimes in fantasy. If you're really highly priced and then you pull out a massive score to begin with, you're just unaffordable for the next few games for the rest of the season. So Mimstrom has the potential to become an unaffordably great ruck. However, there is some downside to her because as you're more expensive, you have more to lose. And after Port Adelaide, she has a few tough matchups with Brisbane and North. So there's the chance she could be dropping off a bit of money there in these tougher matchups. And she could be a good person, a good ruck option to pick up if she becomes a little bit cheaper going into week four. But I think if you can afford her, and there's kind of quite a few good options to be able to afford someone like Mimstrom with a lot of very cheap forwards and midfielders kind of returning and returning from injury or returning from an off season, I think she is a good bet to put your money behind if you're looking for a way to differentiate yourself and capitalize on a very large scoring potential.
I think that's a very pithy summary, albeit one that baked in about six or seven different points of why Mimstrom is such a conundrum for us this year. Jono, Mimstrom had a last three average of 140 and a last five game average of 132, which means she technically could be 20 to 30 points more value. Does that sway you more or less towards picking Strom?
Oh, it's very hard to go against her just on the basis that that ceiling is unbelievable compared to every other ruck that we've seen of recent years. I guess the challenge that I have in picking her is twofold. One is that every season I think we've come in and we've seen, oh, this ruck is the top of the lead line. They're absolutely, you know, far and away the best. And yet every season they seem to be reined in. And, you know, we looked at Ali Morfitt last year and sure, it was injury impacted, but that definitely came back to the fold. Season before, it was Brianna Moody, 10 points above everyone else, and then she's now come back to the fold as well. I think that there are more reasons than we've ever seen before for Mimstrom to stay clear above everyone else. I'm a little bit hesitant just to pay up that cash because of that early fixture. But, yeah, I do think overall there's not a ruck that has the ceiling she has. I'm very likely to start it this season.
Talking of regression to the mean, my next four kind of established ruck picks are all priced in the 70s and 80s. So if we have a feeling that she's going to regress even slightly further below her 112 to close to the 80s, there's some other good options there that could be worthwhile picking instead. And I've gone with Matilda Schultz, Ali Morfitt, Jess Allen, and then Eilish O'Dowd with a bit of a star. What's the proper word for a star?
Asterisks
next to her name. So Matilda Schultz, she's priced at 934 or 72.1 average. And the reason I think you could pick her over Mimstrom is her headroom for personal growth. She had a huge season last season and we expect her to be even better this season. She's now coming into her third season as Port's primary ruck. And she has had, like, she had such a big season last year. So she was the, like, best and fairest, mark of the year. So she's coming in on a high. Her, like, aerial ability, contested possession skills are all absolutely elite and something that Port is really going to be leaning on and likely to really rely on this season as a avenue for their own scoring. Levicki was the supporting ruck last season and she has retired in the off-season. So this kind of gives even more potential for Matilda Schultz. The only kind of downside is that she does have a bit of a tough start to the fixture, notably playing Fremantle first, but then North and Gold Coast after that. So she also kind of has this fixture question mark around her like she has it with Mimstrom. But I think if you're wanting to save a whopping half a mil or so, she could be a really good F1. Nope. D1. Nope. R1.
R1.
My God. Letters.
We got there.
So I'm fully on board with the idea that Matilda Schultz kind of medium term will be a top three ruck for quite a while. My concern, and it's not one that like I've being, it isn't one where I haven't gone like, yeah, I'm happy to just look past it, is the fact that Port have had one player ever average over 80. And that is down to the way that they play. Is it going to be possible for Schultzy to still back it up and push up into that 80? To the point where, and this kind of breeds me onto my next question, how many of you guys, and I'll throw it open to the floor, are considering just picking a ruck to be a stepping stone to a potentially falling Mim Strom a few weeks into the season? Jono, I'll go to you first.
Yeah, I think that's... It's probably my main option if I don't go with Mim Strom. I don't think I'm going to go all the way down to one of those rookie rock options that we're talking about a little bit later, just because you're not going to actually find the cash. But with that start that Strom has, it just... I really think she's going to lose a little bit of cash early. I mean, you look early, she's got that game against Adelaide, for example, and she played Adelaide twice last season for a 62 and an 81. Like, if she puts up a 60 in either of those games, she'll lose 200K very, very quickly. And so if there's an option like Matilda Schultz who can, you know, potentially start well and jump up, I think that's something that's worth considering.
I'm actually going to build off that, Jono, and say my answer to this is I'm going to shimmy on down to number three, because I think Jess Allen has a very good start to the season and can be that step-up opportunity to Mim Strom in after the tough matchup with Adelaide and Freo. So Jess Allen is priced at 884K or an average of 86.3, and I had a fantastic interview with her earlier this preseason. I don't think that's out yet, but everyone should listen to that. It was one of my faves. but the reason I think that she has this potential is both the headroom for personal growth plus the fixture. So 2024 was her first season as solo ruck, and we saw her average go up 11 points, largely from being more dominant with the hitouts. And while there is a cap to how much your average can increase from the number of hitouts you get, she has had a strong off-season of development. We saw her do pick up some midfield coaching in the off season. Sounds like she's really been working on her game, training hard. And so I think that she can come in and increase that a little bit, especially in the first few weeks where she's got St Kilda, Geelong, and then GWS, who we'll be talking about a lot more later. So I think she's got the potential to make a bit of money in the first few weeks. Tough matchup with Freo, jump on the Mim Strom train.
Interesting point you make about a bit of midfield coaching, because I think that's the one question mark I have. And Jess Allen, for that opening run, incredible. It's just the number of points that she gets from hitouts alone. So averages under 10 disposals a game, and most of them are handballs, still managed to average 34 hitouts per game. It's just a question of ceiling if she's not getting as involved as much with the tackling and with the disposals. If we want to talk about players who stay consistently relevant, and Jono, you asked for someone that can start hot, let me tell you about this. So, 94, 86, 93, 90, 118. Who am I talking about?
Ali Morfitt.
That's the last time we saw Ali Morfitt fit. And so that's the type of player that she can be, and she is extremely involved in all stoppage work, all clearance work, but also... she has an excellent pair of hands. She had an 8-mark game against Carlton. That's against Breanne Harrington. She absolutely gets involved in the hitouts, but also she is such a kick-dominant player.
She does have a bit of a tough fixture, though. And at only 83.5, she can definitely have at least 20 points of average there. I think that she's a little bit more expensive, so she is the second most expensive ruck, priced at just over a mil, but you're still saving 400 plus grand on Mim Strom. So I reckon she could be one to come in quite cheap, playing Richmond, the Suns, and then Geelong as her first three games.
That Geelong matchup sounds delightful. Sounds like one she will absolutely dominate. Is there anyone else, Mel? Mel, you kind of mentioned Ailish O'Dowd. Is there any interest in picking her at all, and kind of what's the value prop there?
Ailish O'Dowd is an interesting one, priced at 932 for a 72 average. The reason I've got her down here is because she also does have that headroom for personal growth. We saw in her debut season as a ruck that she's still got some work to do on that hit-out craft, but she can also be really impacting around the ground. The flag here is that she is likely going to be missing round one. She's kind of not yet back and training. So round one, question mark. Round two, also question marks. Not really sure when she's going to come back in, but I actually think that works to her advantage as a fantasy pickup because she has two easy matchups to start off the season with Essendon and Collingwood, and then Adelaide, so tough. But if you were to pick her up kind of round 4 to 5 after she's potentially lost some points over to Adelaide, she could be, and like she's just starting to play again, starting into the season, she could be someone to pick up quite cheap and ride towards the end of the season if you're not looking for an upgrade target towards like a Mimstrom or something at that time. So I've put her in the top five or like the top four established rucks because I think she has some of those like value headroom points that can see her increasing significantly towards the back end of the season, but she is kind of a bit of a question mark.
Yeah, and I think that headroom for growth, she brings so much of that, basically a wing player, and she, you know, led the competition or equal most bounces for any player. Like, I think of the 12 bounces that were taken by rucks last year, Ailish O'Dowd took like 9 of them or 10 of them. She's just like a bit of a unique beast in that way. You mentioned the back. Yep, she's not back from Ireland yet. There's also some talk about another Irish ruck coming in, splitting a bit of time, which is Grace Coss. She's not a ruck in the game, but she is a forward. Just one name to keep in mind there. Jono, how personally aggrieved are you that Lucy Wales was not named in the established ruck, despite the fact that I think Mel's 4 list there is a very, very good list?
I appreciate that not only have you checked in with me on this, but Mel checked in with me just before the episode. So clearly my Hawthorn bias comes in true and strong. So I appreciate that. I think Lucy Wales is an incredible player. I don't see there being any drop off this year. I think she's just going to go from strength to strength as she gets older and a little bit stronger with her game. I don't like the start against Brisbane. It's a very challenging first matchup. But beyond that, I think if you're not going to go Mimstrom, but you want someone who can, you know, come in and someone you're not going to trade out for the rest of the season, but you kind of just want to have, I'm just going to set this ruck and I'm going to leave it alone until I've got a full team and then I can worry about fixing up to whoever's the best at the time. That's the kind of player that I would be looking at is Lucy Wales. If I'm trying to find someone that I'm doing a quick upgrade to Mimstrom after a few good weeks, I'm not sure she's the player though.
Yeah, it is a very, very difficult spot to be in. I think the one thing I wanted to say on Lucy Wales is if I was going to pick possibly the next player to do like the incremental increase, explosion season that Mimstrom did last year, I'd say that Lucy Wales is possibly the most likely. Not to say that she's the most likely player to become an 100-plus averaging ruck, but if we just look at that career progression, Wales has got scored better each of the last 3 seasons, brings a bit of tenacity with the tackling, is a clean user of the ball, plays on a team that will generate more stoppages by virtue of the quality of their midfield. I will not be shocked, like floored completely, if we get to the end of the season and it turns out that Lucy Wales averages close to 95. But that's obviously taking into account I'm not certain on what the rules are going to do and how they transition throughout the year to ruck scoring overall. But I'm massive on this idea that Lucy Wales has that step-by-step growth in her and could have that kind of explosion season at some point.
Someone who also kind of makes it to the honourable mentions list up the top, but probably not for the great reasons, is Sabrina Frederick. So she was a fantastic ruck last season, and she has this benefit of playing ruck and full forward, which is great for keeping her on the ground all of the time. And she was very utilised last season. She's someone that in the Collingwood Club Review earlier this season we were excited about because she had that role. But it sounds like that Imogen Barnett might be taking over more of the ruck role, which leaves Sabrina Frederick to play more of the full forward role. And I think we saw some of this playing out already in the match sims, which could be exciting, except that it's Collingwood, the Wooden Spooners, and I don't think the full forward at Collingwood is where you really want to be grabbing your fantasy points from. So she's priced at 892 or 68.9, but it's a watch and see, I guess, to see how much full forward and she plays as opposed to ruck, but not someone that has probably got as much exciting potential as we might have had earlier in the season.
I think that's a very good summary. Now, before we move on to the rest of the ruck battles, just would like to shout out Talia Hickey, who isn't really rating a mention from us this year because she's been very consistent throughout her career at a 60. We're also not going to hear any mention of Steph Killer Wales, which is deeply disappointing to me. Lauren Pierce at Melbourne, not a ruck battle that we're particularly interested in. And maybe, like, I also think that North Melbourne, I think they're just a bit of a too much of a rotation team. Which brings me on to the next thing, which is a question we got from Didact DT, which is which rookie ruck has the fewest question marks? And then lists about 7 or 8 of them that all come in with question marks. And we think that that's a great way to think about this. It was how we were kind of thinking about dealing with this problem. So instead of just saying who we think is best, we're just going to talk about each of the teams individually that have a ruck battle that is fantasy relevant this year, of which there are 5, 6?
At least 5. Count. And we've kind of put the key question next to each one. So what's the club, and then what's the kind of dynamic that we're facing within this club to identify if 1 or 2 or no of their rucks are fantasy relevant?
That is, yes. Thank you, Mel. That is better hosting than I was doing. So, Jono, this is a ruck battle. I'm going to start off with you. You're going to take ownership of this team. It's a ruck battle that you have been fascinated in now for 2 seasons, and it is Richmond. What's the spiel? Who's the one to pick? Who's relevant?
Yeah, so I guess the incumbent ruck that we have here is Poppy Kelly, who is priced at $980,000, an average of 75 last year. Very, very impressive. But, of course, last year we weren't expecting her at this point of the season to be their ruck, because Montana McKinnon had come across from the Crows and was looking ominous across that preseason. And unfortunately, in the practice match just before the season started, she did her ACL. So I think the question mark here is how are they going to have, they've got these two excellent ruck options. How are they going to go? My best guess, having not seen what they're going to run with, but my best guess at this stage is that they're going to run both. I think they're going to share with one of them resting forward throughout the match. I think they're both excellent contested marks, and I think it's just going to give them a little bit of an extra option. So realistically, I think Poppy Kelly's average is going to fall a bit. Montana McKinnon's price is going to go up a bit, and I think they'll find some sort of equilibrium between them. If I was considering starting either of them, I definitely wouldn't be starting Poppy Kelly. Of anyone to lose cash in the rucks, it's going to be her. Montana McKinnon might rise a little bit, but I'm not sure she's going to come up far enough to be the best option for us.
So I completely agree with you on Poppy Kelly and Montana McKinnon. It's also worth mentioning that sadly they have probably the best ruck run to start the season. Even when you consider the fact that Sydney's doesn't include, Sydney's average from last year for ruck scoring factors in Ali Morfitt not playing for most of the season. So it's naturally a little bit better. But the Western Bulldogs, Essendon, Melbourne, Geelong and St Kilda in the first 6 weeks. So if for whatever reason Poppy Kelly was not playing, Montana McKinnon becomes a smash pick. And I think you were bang on as well with playing both rucks, because as much as Montana McKinnon didn't play in the match sim that just happened as of recording, they had Shelby Knoll and Caitlin Greiser and Katie Brennan all playing in that forward line, and then Poppy Kelly playing in the ruck, and then Greiser and Shelby Knoll were both playing ruck, not just in the forward 50, but at centre bounces and even in D50. So there's definitely a case to be made that I think both will play on that team this season.
Yeah, and even last year when Tamara Luke was brought in as that replacement player, I think her and Poppy Kelly shared about 6 games throughout the year. So I definitely think that's going to be the case.
Yes, which sadly rules both of them out, I would say, at the moment for starting teams.
Yes, but in a side that maybe doesn't have to rule someone out, we've got West Coast who, other than maybe Melbourne, has the longest run of no red flags on my little hardness scale that I've seen. I mean, they start off with the Suns, who are a little bit tough, but then they've got nothing that's too particularly hard all the way until Adelaide. So that's looking like a pretty good fixture, and we've got a few potentials over at West Coast. So this is another situation, kind of like Richmond, of we've got Sarah Lakai as the incumbent here at 49.8 or 645K, and we've got Liz McGrath, who's recently been traded in, and she's kind of struggled for casino opportunities in the ruck previously at both Port and North Melbourne. So she'll be looking to step up in that ruck role here. We heard from the Emma Swanson interview that they're kind of approaching this as a battle of the fittest. So they're training really hard against each other to be kind of fighting for that first ruck position. But there's the potential for Liz McGrath to kind of step or who's only priced at just under 500K, so an average of 38.5. She's got 10 points less average coming in than Sarah Lekay and a lot of potential there. She could jump ahead and become the first banana at West Coast. There's the potential. And we saw in the match sims that she took the majority of the hitouts, which thank you to, yes, we're skimming right over banana. I was excited because we can talk about first bananas many times in the Rock episode. But thank you to Josh Pavitt, who sent through some delightful handwritten notes all the way over from WA, recording some of these hitouts. Thank you very much. We couldn't be there to see that ourselves, and neither club, I don't think, has put out their match sim article. So thank you very much for your diligent reporting and thinking of us. So out of these two, I'm picking Liz McGrath, and she's cheaper. We've seen a little bit of her in the match sim. It makes kind of sense with the trade, and I think she has the opportunity to be a bit more dominant, which is disappointing for Sarah Lekay, but that's my read.
I'm fully on board with this read. I think that Liz McGrath, she's averaged like 50, over 50 in her one season that she's played. And that's with only, that's with very limited number of ruck contests. So average of 55%. I think that she has shown herself to be a pretty solid scorer in the VFL. Like almost every score above 70, kind of in that 70 to 100 range playing in the VFLW. I think that's a great sign. The big flag for me is just how often last season West Coast were changing their rucks. Like we saw Cleaver, Lekay, who else was there? Oh my God, the names all escape me at this stage.
Tess Lyon at some point, I think.
They had also the ruck that they brought in as like a late season pickup. So they had Lekay, Tess Lyons, Lauren Wackford, Georgie Cleaver, and they also had Roxy Rue taking some ruck hitouts. I think that there is a world where you could run Liz McGrath, particularly if there's like some strong wording and she looks incredible in the practice match, as your R2, if you really wanted to go that way, because I think there's a lot of value to be made. And there is the riskier play of using Liz McGrath for a month's worth of cash generation and then potentially going up to someone who's maybe dropped a little bit, maybe one of Schultzy or Morfitt starts a little colder, or Lucy Whale starts a little colder, and that's who you jump up from. I think that of all the players that I'm watching from the Prackies, this Liz McGrath is probably up there in like my top five.
Maybe Mimstrom's lost a mill by then, and we can a little sidestep up to her.
A whole $1 million. Okay.
If she has dropped $1 million, she has gotten injured twice in 2 weeks on like two. And then it'll be like, well, that's really unfortunate. That would be deeply disappointing, and I'm not sure I'd go there.
Maybe we've talked about two clubs where there's like the incumbent versus the new recruit. Geelong has got an interesting kind of different situation, Jono.
They do. I think they brought in Caitly Tipping this year just to be their number one, but unfortunately she's just gone down injured and won't be available for the season. So I was trying to figure out who I thought the number one ruck at Geelong would be, and I thought, why figure it out myself when I can ask the expert Will? And he tells me with great confidence that Erica Fowler will be the number one ruck with Kate Darby pinch hitting. So that is a 300K option, someone who has averaged 58 in the past. It's certainly tempting.
Look, I think that's a great point. Just to throw a spanner in the works, Piper Dunlop, a draftee for Geelong from last season, was apparently taking almost all the ruck hitouts in the match simulation on the weekend, and Kate Darby played almost exclusively forward.
It's certainly a challenge to try and figure out the difference between that reality and Will's opinion here, but Will, he's never proven me wrong. I've never had cause to doubt it when it comes to Geelong specifically.
I think that this is very much a case of, I personally thought it would be Fowler as well, just on like the way that Geelong play and what they've often done with their rucks. And I won't overreact to match sim notes that I saw on Twitter, but it's just worth noting that apparently Geelong are changing how they do things.
Yeah, I definitely don't think it's an open and shut case.
What this says to me is that we've got Erica Fowler and Piper Dunlop, who are both 300K. If they're both listed to start in round one, I wouldn't be picking either of them because you don't really know which way it's going to go. I think if one is listed over the other, then great. That is a very cheap R2 option that you can get basement price because the other can't be playing if they're not listed. But the fact that they could be experimenting a bit more, we reckon Fowler's a lock, Piper Dunlop's in the match sim. Experimenting, yeah, I think it kind of voids both of them until we see one stand above the other.
I do tend to agree with you. And I think at the moment, if we see Erica Fowler take most of them in the practice match and then a little bit of Piper Dunlop, it almost rules both of them out just because it's very clear that they're experimenting.
Sharing.
Speaking of experimenting, it's our favourite scientist of a coach. It's Nick Del Santo having to pick for St Kilda. Now, Mel, who is your pick for fantasy relevancy here?
Yeah, so St Kilda and Essendon are two clubs that have the same kind of problem. Will the junior ruck make enough impact to be fantasy relevant? And what we've got over at St Kilda is we've left with Renee Carris, essentially. We saw that Simone Nolder retired at the end of last season. We also saw listed ruck Emily Fiedler injure herself, I believe, in ACL. So she is also out. And it leaves the one ruck on the list at St Kilda being Renee Carris, who's priced at 424K or 32.7, which is an interesting pick because while she will have the number one ruck slot, as a kind of junior, more inexperienced player, is there going to be the opportunity for Renee to be dominant against other rucks and have enough power to make herself, well, be in a fantasy relevant position while being that number one? Because there's a couple of red flags here. One is that we expect Jessie Wardlaw to be pinch hitting in that forward ruck role. We saw her do it at the back end of last season and it was very helpful for her scoring. And we probably expect her to do that even more so to support Renee. But there's also a couple of other dot points here that you guys have chucked on. Beck Ott, Liam?
Yeah, Beck Ott, it sounds like, so she's a defender in the game, but it sounds like they've been cross-training her in the ruck based on some training reports out of St Kilda. So it does appear they're trialling a whole stack of different options.
Yeah, I feel like St Kilda are one that like to have the backup option. They ran three different rucks throughout last season, so I'm sure... I still feel as if Renee Carris is going to be that number one coming into the season. They're just probably looking at backup options because aside from Beckett and Jessie Wardlaw, who Jessie Wardlaw is already needed in other parts of the ground, I think the only other likely ruck is Zoe Basanko, who they drafted at pick 32. So, yeah, I can sort of see, I'm not worried about it. If you look at, say, the Hawks, we had Lucy Wales as our number one ruck and then a draftee come in and support her last season, and I don't think it affected her minutes too much. But, yeah, I think Renee Carris is definitely one to watch from that cheap price point. The question is, what can she actually score?
Yeah, and I think she's, like, priced at 424. There's some cheaper ruck options. You know, we've got a couple of 300Ks that might be floating around here and there. I think that she looks quite attractive on paper, but I'm not as convinced that for that price or even, like, the scoring potential is really going to be too significant there. So I'm putting St Kilda as a... probably not making a fantasy impact.
So I am possibly slightly contrarian, just on my own, you know, track record. And I actually think Renee Carris is more of an option. If only because her points per minute scoring is really good. It's her time on ground, which is terrible. She had a season of over one, I think she had like 1.1 points per minute in her final season at GWS 2 years ago, which is pretty damn good. It's just that last season she only averaged like 55% time on ground. And that obviously, you know, speaks to the way in which her and Fiedler, when they were playing, were basically playing one-on-one off. Maybe Fiedler would go forward, but Renee Carris was just bench, ruck, bench, ruck, bench, ruck if she was actually playing, which is never ideal. So I definitely don't love it from that perspective. But if I see a lot of like high game time for Renee Carris in the practice match, like 75-80%, that's a really good sign because, again, I think at her price, she's super cheap. She's just over rookie priced. And I think that there is 20 points of value there. It is just going to come down to, again, what I see in the preseason. It's not a guaranteed pick by any means. It's just the points per minute at some point has been excellent. She is more athletic than we probably give her credit for, given that she's also a former netballer. It's just that time on ground that worries me.
And I'd say the number of games within the season. I don't think she's played out a full season yet. So if you were to hope for a set and forget, or even just a cash upgrade option. She's someone who might be missing a couple of games. You don't really want that from a cash gen option on your bench. So I would probably want to see some consistency of playing through a full season. But then again, we're competing with 300k rookie rucks here who we've seen nothing from. So she does have that upside. But over to our last club, yes, which is arguably one of the most interesting ones to talk about from a ruck perspective. What do you got for us, Liam?
It's Essendon, in no surprise. And because Essendon just do Essendon things, we are going to start the season without a healthy, recognised number one ruck because Steph Killer Wales did her ACL at the back end of last year. And so the two options we have are Courtney Murphy, who's a 300k'er, who's playing for her third team in three seasons. She has played one AFLW game for 7 points, 9 points, 5 points. It's something real low when she played for GWS last year.
She scored six, yeah.
She scored six? Damn. And then Matilda Dyke, who for most of her first season did not play as a ruck. She played as a winger, and that's because she's more of an endurance runner than she is a natural winger. And then she had to ruck the last two games of last year against Jess Good and Breanne Harrington in one game and then Mimstrom in the next. And that's when Mimstrom had like 175 besquillion fantasy points and 46 touches and 39 million hitouts. So it's not a great sign. And so if Courtney Murphy, who having done an interview with Amy Gaylor recently, spoke about the fact that Courtney Murphy has come in and she's more of the like strength ruck, whereas Matilda Dyke is a leaping, endurance, athletic ruck. I think there's a case to be made that Courtney Murphy is definitely going to be the one with more value there to be made. We kind of know what Matilda Dyke is like when she plays in the ruck. But it sounds as though at the moment, Dyke is the one who is winning and spending a lot more time in there, and Courtney Murphy hasn't got nearly as many hitouts. Am I going to pick Matilda Dyke at 434k? I don't love it. I haven't seen the scoring. I haven't seen the kind of work in transition to really be a big scorer. Might be one who plays like an Ailey Sheeran light role as like a ruck in name and then an outside winger. But I'm not confident enough in the scoring to think she'll get even close to what O'Dowd did last year.
I got to say, this is not filling me with a lot of confidence. Pretty much every team here.
No, and I think, is there any other teams that we've missed that might have like an active battle?
Well, I just want to flag one because we didn't talk about it before and it's an asterisk that concerns me a little bit. Mimstrom is the ruck at Fremantle, but this year she is joined by her younger sister, Indy Strom. And talking to Tanisha Kickerwack in the interview, which you bring up Amy Gaylor reminded me of, I think there is a non-zero chance that Indy Strom starts in the side and joins her in the ruck, just to add a little bit more chaos to what the Fremantle lineup is going to look like. So I'm not saying that with confidence. I think it is a watch over the match sims, and it is a watch in those round one team announcements.
That is a very important flag on the most most expensive player. So,
yes.
Yeah.
I think you bang on there to raise it. At least it won't be a surprise then for listeners if she is named in the first couple of games. Sorry. In terms of the other rookie rucks that we have to pick from battles that we haven't mentioned, I think it's worthwhile noting that Havana Harris, who was picked 2 last year, she's named as a ruck in the game. So 416k priced at effectively an average of 32. Now, it does not sound from anything that we've heard or read that she will play much time in the ruck. Lauren Bella is an experienced campaigner there and is a very, very solid tap ruck. And it sounds like that will be what will occur for the beginning of the season. Havana Harris will play forward. Now, there have been some notes out there suggesting that Harris will be thrown into the middle, be it as a ruck or as a midfielder, because of the athlete that she is. And so I see Havana Harris as like, if we have no confidence in any R2, I think you can pick Havana Harris because I just think she'll get picked every week. And if you want to just be sure that you have a chance for the cash to turn over, that's where you look. Anyone else, like in terms of the other players, like Keely Hardingham, Madison Torpy, Mel, does either of them interest you kind of to start the season, or are these just like notes for the background?
Yeah, these are players that have more downside than upside in terms of what we can see so far. Keely Hardingham, we saw her play in the match sim. She is listed as a ruck at 300k, but she's probably, Well, she's definitely sitting at least second behind Alice Edmonds. And Annalee McKee, listed as a ruck. I can't remember if she actually played ruck or not.
Ruck in the VFLW. Champion Data does some funny business when it comes to changing positions during the off season if you play a different position in the VFLW.
I was writing my notes and I was like, third behind Annalee McKee. Nah, she's not playing ruck, is she? Question mark. I was like, I can't remember what's going on there, but that doesn't sound right to me. And then Madison Torpy, who again, match sim played ruck, but Carlton is not a fun team to be breaking into as a ruck. We've got Jess Good and Brianne Moody already very established there. So these are like maybe some potentials, but I think they're by far down the bottom of the list compared to the names we've already mentioned.
The one thing I do want to mention on Keely Hardingham, she played a VFLW game a couple of weeks ago for the Western Bulldogs. Now, rucking against Port Melbourne, who don't have exactly a very well-established ruck in the VFLW, she scored 152 points on 17 kicks, 10 handballs, 5 marks, 6 tackles, and 43 hit-outs. So if for whatever reason Alice Edmonds were to go down, Hardingham seems like someone who is ready-made to come in and score.
That's really giving Mimstrom versus Essendon.
That is giving Brood. And it has been a rude awakening talking about all of these rucks. Now, I'm going to ask you guys, like, if there is one player that you are most confident in picking at either R1 and R2, who is it after having done that full breakdown? Mel, I'll go to you first as lead analyst today.
Yeah. It's going to be down to the wire whether or not...
Confidence exuded.
Oh, well, I'm just thinking, like, I'd love to go Strom. I really would. But I'm currently thinking Jess Allen. I think she's got the better lineup to the start for a stepping stone up to Strom. And then R2 is really tricky. I would like to pick one of the Geelong players, and I'm hoping that one of them dominates. But if not, I'm thinking Liz McGrath, bit more expensive ruck option. But I think that she's probably the most guaranteed to have that upside for my bench for cash gen. So Jess Allen and Liz McGrath for me.
So Jess Allen and Liz McGrath. Jonna, who you got?
I'm finding it really difficult to go against Mimstrom. I think if she's named as sole ruck coming into round one, I'm almost certain to be jumping on board. And at R2, I'm a big fan of paying up for someone that's probably going to have a lot of game time. So Renee Karras is currently sitting in my R2.
Nice.
Interesting. Yep, I'm liking all of these options so far. My current options are Ali Morfitt, just for her ability to completely dominate games. I think she'll be excellent to start the year, particularly with an opening round matchup at North Sydney Oval, which is super small, and that's one where her long kicking dominates. And then at the moment, Mel, I've kind of got a similar thought to you, which is I've got Piper Dunlop in there just based on the notes that I saw from the weekend in the match sim. It is with zero confidence. If you were going to say, like, who is the most locked into my team, she would be in, like, the bottom three. But at this point, I'm spending up elsewhere, looking to maybe spend a little bit more at D1. And so to make that happen, I've skimped on. I've had Liz McGrath and Renee Karras both sitting there at my R2 at times. Gone, out with you, out you go, bringing in Piper Dunlop. So good to see that we've got a little bit of variety here. It's been a position that has typically seen at least one player be a lock pick for the last few seasons. It doesn't sound like it's going to be like that this year. Mm. Which, and I think that the one thing we can say is that we are going to be watching the ruck position probably more than anything else in the official practice matches, which when this episode comes out starts tonight and will happen over the weekend.
I was going to say, at the start when we were divvying up the line by lines, I was like, oh, you know, the rucks are always so easy. There's always a lock and then like a couple of rookies that you might choose from. I'll just take the easy one at the end. And then I was thinking about this and I was like, boy, oh boy, this is going to be our longest, most detailed episode yet. Well, it feels like it for me because I was like, there are so many names and potentials here. But variety is the spice of life, and I am so glad that we've all picked different R1, R2 combos for the summary of this episode. I think that wraps up the rucks and the things that we're battling with in terms of how to pick our rucks perfectly, that we've all got different opinions at the end of it.
You had an opportunity to say that really rucks up how we're thinking about the volatility of the rucks, and you left it on the table. I'm sitting there going, I'm surely I hurt. No, she didn't run with it.
Someone else has got to bring the comedy. I can't single-handedly carry the comedy of this podcast, Liam. Thank you for contributing.
Oh, no worries. You just carry the comedy and then take over from host whenever you feel like it as well. We did ask for questions kind of before this episode came out, and we got a great question again from Josh Pavitt. Can each of you name a speculative mid-price pick that you're monitoring for upside that you'll be watching closely through the Pracky games, which is kind of what I was getting at towards the end there. It doesn't just have to be a ruck, and obviously there are a whole slew of options to talk about. Mel, I'll go to you first. The number one player you're watching for as kind of a speculative mid-priced option. So I'm talking like between like 450K and like maybe like 700, 800 this weekend that could make their way into your side.
Interesting you say that because I don't have her price in front of me, but I've gone with Caitlin Sohoy, who averaged 56.6. Is that within your range?
That's close enough. I'm not going to look at the prices either. That fits the vibe.
Yeah, great.
Jono, what about you?
I'm currently looking at Darcy Vesio. They are very, very cheap in the forward line, and the brief stint that they've played in defense before has been very promising. So only 3% ownership, I think, at the moment. I think if that role plays out, didn't happen in the match sim because they missed with illness, I think. But if that happens on the coming weekend, then I'll be very excited.
I love that pick. As you can see, my beautifully newly hung Darcy Vesio print in the background. I would also love to put Darcy Vesio in my fantasy side. Unfortunately, I don't feel like they've been particularly fantasy relevant for me yet, but that I really like that pick.
I think that's a solid pick. At least that position is one that I will absolutely be watching. Now, because I'm host, I can pick more than one player. So I'm going to pick one immediately from outside the price range, which is Sarah Goodwin, who has gotten some very recent chat as a potential midfielder for Adelaide this year. She looked solid in the back end of last year as a halfback, having been a highly touted pick in the past to Port Adelaide. I am very keen on the idea that we might finally get the defender who gets a midfield role, or at least a bit more of a midfield surge. So I'm really big on that. I think it's not so much speculative, but if we just see nothing from them, Hannah Ewing, someone who was a rising star in their first season, has a potential, like all the potential in the world to be a big scorer. I'd love to see how she goes at Adelaide. So I'm going to be watching Adelaide a lot. The other one is one that I watched on the match sim recording, Carlton and Richmond, and it's Irone Fitzpatrick, who I think could be like Maddie Guerin-esque scorer going from like rookie priced all the way up, because she is so clearly their most dynamic midfielder. It is not even funny at Carlton. So Irish comes in off an ACL and just looked incredible, like a pure midfield version of Eileen Gilroy. I think that she is going to be an absolute gun this year. I would 100% like to see her reprise like a 50% midfield role, price at 429K. I am super hot on picking Ronnie.
Unfortunately, Ronnieing up for a big one doesn't quite have the same ring as gearing up for a big one.
Ronnieing up for a big one.
That's absolutely going to rule her out of Mel's side.
Oh, that is dreadful. Well, let's finish on that Ronnieing terrible, terrible pun. I hope you've all enjoyed what has been a bumper episode. Probably a couple too many puns by the end of it. By the time you hear from it next, all of the preseason games will have happened, and we will have a breakdown of who moved up and down the most. I cannot stress enough, if you're going to spend half an hour watching anything on the weekend, just plug in a bit of a match sim, a practice match stream, just to get a sense of how teams are playing. I don't care so much about scoring. I want to watch for role. That is the number one thing I'm watching for. As always, look out on all our socials for all the different content that we are putting out there on Instagram and Twitter, particularly. Jono, you and I are putting out articles over on the AFLW website. There will also be an article about those match sim performances. Hopefully you've enjoyed today. Apologies for any chaotic hosting. If you've lasted this long, congratulations. And hopefully you'll hear from us soon, and you're keen to play AFLW Fantasy for 2025. See you guys soon.
See ya.
Bye.